Ask you to take your Bibles this morning, please, and get those ready to open. We're going to have a word of prayer here together, but if you would open to Proverbs chapter 6, and as you're opening there, I do need to mention too, tonight we will be observing the Lord's Supper, and just to let you know about that, I wanted to start this morning, actually, as we were singing that last song, Speak, O Lord, Hebrews 4:12 in our hymn book, it has that verse printed at the top there, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. That is so true. The truth of God's word, even in song, it's God's truth in song form, if you will. And God can use that, as he did even in my heart while we were singing that this morning. And so what I'd like to do is have a word of prayer before we look at God's word. And I want to just use that song, just the first verse, as our prayer this morning. So if you would, if you want to bow your heads and close your eyes, you can, and just focus on these words as we pray these to God this morning. Lord, as we come to you to receive the food of your holy word, speak to us. Take your truth, plant it deep in us. Shape us. Fashion us in your likeness. that the light of Christ might be seen today in our acts of love and our deeds of faith. Speak, Lord. Fulfill in us all your purposes for your glory. Amen. The title of the message, obviously, is up on the screen in front of you. And I preached some of this last week at the Family Bible School in Georgia. And I've been studying this for quite some time. It's not very often I do a topical sermon. And it hasn't been easy to prepare. Because as I studied this and God worked in my heart, I realized that I haven't been blameless in this area. Sometimes I've been at fault intentionally. Sometimes unintentionally. And I believe that's maybe true for all of us. I don't know of anyone who's ever been blameless when it comes to discord. We're going to kind of break that down this morning and see just what God's word has to say about it. And I trust that your prayer would be, God, speak to my heart from the truth of your word. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 12, it says, a naughty person, a wicked man, walketh with a froward mouth. He winketh with his eyes, speaketh with his feet, he teacheth with his fingers. Frowardness is in his heart. He deviseth mischief continually. He soweth discord. Therefore shall his calamity come suddenly. Suddenly he shall, or shall he be broken without remedy. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. And I haven't been blameless in that. I have done this that God hates. That was the realization that came to me as I was studying this topic. It's one of the things that God hates. Verse 19, he that soweth discord among the brethren. It's mentioned as well in verse 14. The same picture, in fact, is used, sowing discord. Now, when we consider the context of the passage here, all the verses that I've read, many times, some or all six of these things that God hates is present in the person that's being described. But what is it? Discord. Well, here's the dictionary. A lack of concord or harmony between persons or things. And we see the same Hebrew word here in Proverbs that's translated as discord. In Proverbs 10:12, the same Hebrew word is translated as strife. Verse 14 of Proverbs 6, it refers to he that soweth discord among the brethren. And the picture is a sower. A sower plants seeds. So they're planting seeds. In this context, a sower of discord is someone who plants seeds of disharmony between persons or things. According to our passage, a sower can do this in a variety of ways. If I could direct you back to verse 17, it says they have a proud look. They're right. That's the idea behind a proud look. It says in that description that there can be lies. It says they shed innocent blood. It means what they say hurts innocent people. Verse 18. They can be calculating, planning on how they're going to do it. Now, that's the intentional side of it. And it says feet swift to mischief. They are swift to do it. Now, let me just explain that for a moment here. James chapter 1 and verse 19, it says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak." Instead of swift feet running to mischief. And then it says, slow to wrath. Slow to offense. But swift to hear. Slow to getting upset over a matter that they maybe don't have. Maybe I haven't had all the facts over. Or you, or us, or we, or them. Whatever the case is. Now, if we're, as James says, swift to hear, we're focusing on hearing, then that means by default we are listening. And if we're listening, we're allowing others to give us information that we don't have. Who are the others that we're getting the information from? Well, let's go to Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 13. He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. I know I've shared with you examples before, just my interactions with my family, where I have opened mouth and insert my whole leg before, because I didn't have all the facts. Someone in my family planted a little seed of discord. Whether it was intentional or not, I don't know. They said something to me about another family member. I picked up that phone and I started preaching. And I didn't ask the other side. I didn't have all the other facts. And see, sometimes what happens is the seed of discord gets planted. We don't ask for the other facts, and instead of calling the person as I did, only I did it to chew them out, instead of calling the other person at all, we call other people and spread that little seed to others. And as I read in that passage in Proverbs there, sometimes the innocent can get hurt. Ultimately, folks, who is the sower of discord? I want us to really focus on this before we go deeper. We wouldn't say that God is a sower of discord. Absolutely not. He wants unity. He preaches that to us all throughout the New Testament. Unity among our families. Unity among this church family. Because when there's not unity, we are robbing glory from God and we're praising Satan with disunity. We wouldn't say that God's the sower of discord. So who is the sower of discord? Satan. That's who is behind this whole concept of discord. This concept of discord that I've been guilty of myself. Let's remember something. Ultimately, it's not this person against that person or this group and what that group or that person said about that group. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12 tells us, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. And remember, Ephesians is written to Christians. So we're talking about those within the family of God. Let's pull ourselves out of the personal aspects of this and look at it from the outside. We are just pawns that Satan is using to fight against God, to rob God of his glory. This is what he did in the very beginning when he was kicked out of heaven. He wanted God's glory. He tried to steal glory from God. And ever since that, from the very beginning, he does that. And he does it so effectively by getting Christians to be in disharmony. Satan uses us to be sowers of discord. So God addresses those that allow themselves to be planting seeds of discord. And these seeds, it's kind of like planting wildflowers. If y'all don't know what to plant in your gardens, just go to Aldi's, buy a bag, 50-pound bag of wildflower seed, okay? And just start throwing it around the yard. And it doesn't matter if weeds grow up, you can just say, no, those are wildflowers. That's what they are. There's all kinds of stuff in there. Planting seeds, plural, of discord. They sprout in different ways. They look different when they began to grow. It's kind of like planting wildflowers. Why is it they look so different? Well, I would direct you to Galatians chapter 5. We have this passage here where we generally call it the works of the flesh. Now, folks, Galatians is written to Christians. Again, let's not be arrogant here. And I say that because as we go through this list, these works of the flesh that Paul is addressing Christians about, these are things that we are capable of doing if we're not walking in the Spirit. Galatians 5:19. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery. This is written to Christians. Fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. These seeds of discord. Discord is a generic word. It's like wildflower. But they sprout into things like bitterness, either real or perceived injustices to us. Do you realize it doesn't matter if what was done to me was real or an injustice? God tells me what I should do with it. It doesn't matter if I was to blame or they were to blame. God tells me how I should handle that. You say, oh, I'm not bitter. Here's a truth that I had to wrestle with. When I repeat what I believe someone has done, and I repeat it to someone else, I'm still bitter. Let's be reminded here what the psalmist said now in Psalm 15, verse 1 through 3. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? Before we move on, let me just explain this poetry here. We've covered this passage before in a message. It's not saying who gets to go to heaven. It's saying who is going to have close communion and fellowship with God and experience that close worship with God. Verse 2, he that walketh uprightly, worketh righteousness, and speaketh truth in his heart. That's the person that is close to God. There's a comparison now. Verse 3, but he that backbiteth, this continues on this description from verse 2. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, not doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor. And I know we spent time looking at that verse before. Tim does something to Joe. Joe tells me about it. I am so mad at Tim for what he did to Joe. That is wrong. Tim, you shouldn't have done that. All I went on was what Tim told me. Joe planted the seed of discord into my heart, and I took up my neighbor's reproach. God says I can't have fellowship with him when I'm doing that. See, this matter of discord, it affects every area of our lives, folks. The seed of discord can sprout in anger. It can sprout in distrust of someone else. See, Satan knows that if he can get Christians to mistrust the man in the pulpit, the teacher in the classroom, then the truth that is being delivered by that mouthpiece, that's all he is, the truth that's being delivered is not going to be listened to. Satan loves to spread discord because it gets people not listening to the truth. And this is, I believe, an epidemic problem across Christianity. And it has been since the beginning of the church, because it's addressed here in the New Testament even. Paul wrote about it in his letter to Timothy, and he warned Timothy at that time. 1 Timothy 5:19, here's what Paul said, dealing with this. He said, "Against an elder, receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses." You see, God knows that, not that an elder is privileged, but God knows that Satan is after the mouthpieces in the church, whether they're behind a pulpit or behind a lectern in a classroom. God knows that that's Satan's tactic. And so he has set up a higher caution, not a higher standard, but a higher caution for the rest of us to not take an accusation against one of God's mouthpieces unless there are two or three witnesses. Not two or three people that agree with each other, but two or three people that are a witness to the offense that can back it up and support it with evidence. Why? Because Satan wants to shut down the delivering of truth in God's house. Discord can sprout also as hatred, jealousy, rivalries, divisions, heresies. That's just saying things about someone else that just are not true. So let's talk about the sower. As we do, I want each of us to do what I did in preparing this. Ask yourself, is this me? Do I do this? Forget identifying someone else. God did not bring you in here this morning to hear this truth just so you could better pinpoint and label someone else. If this is what you do, you will miss the benefit of this truth, the benefit of this truth to your home, to your marriage, to your relationship with your children or your parents, young people. The benefit to your relationship with your coworkers. And yes, this is going to protect your church. Here's a description of a sower. They're usually driven to serve their own interest. Asking ourselves, is this me? Driven to serve their own interests, their own fleshly desires, what they want within the family context or the work context. Maybe they're aware of what they're doing and they justify it. Or maybe they're just playing into the hands of Satan, who is using them to destroy the family unit. Destroy it by division. They feed their feelings by dwelling on, mulling over real or perceived things. These things could be past injuries. They could be suspicions about things in the present or people. They could be fears about things in the future. They could be real. They might not be. So that's what's going on inside the sower of discord. Asking ourselves, is this me? So what do? Here's how it comes out. They generally look for weakness. They look for weakness in others. They look for soft, sympathetic listeners. Anyone that will listen to their perceived injustices. Anyone that will listen to their idea. Those listeners are perhaps at times overcome with indignation over the injustice, the unfairness. But they haven't heard all sides of the matter before they make a determination. And that's where we need to go back to the verses we've looked at in Proverbs already. But then they begin to champion the cause of the poor, wounded individual. Then they go out and they're throwing some more seeds. And they're recruiting more sympathetic listeners who are not asking for the truth, not seeking for the other side, as Proverbs says we should do. So they look for weakness. They attract members to their team in the ways that I've just described. They may present some valid points to their criticism. They're seeking to get people to be sympathetic to them and on their side. Sometimes lies are used. Sometimes negative emotions are used to elicit sympathy in others. Sometimes it's half-truths. Sometimes it's just innuendos, implying something, suggesting something with that little seed. Something just to get someone else perhaps stirred up, causing division in the family. I offer this cautiously here. This is in God's word. This spoke volumes to me as I was revealing myself through this study. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 10, it says, "But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government authority," or despise government, "presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities." I want to give us the context of that verse. It actually starts in verse 4. And just for the sake of time, I'm going to roll through these verses. Starting in verse 4. And it ends with verse 10. "For if God spared not the angels that sinned," the angels, the fallen angels, they sinned. God didn't cut them any slack. "If God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness and spared not the old world, save Noah, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, making them an example unto those after, that those after should live godly." Verse 9, "The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation," problems, difficulties, "and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly, those that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government, presumptuous are they, self-willed." They're not afraid to speak evil of dignities, speak evil of those in authority over them. Those in authority over us, whether their title is pastor or governor or president, speaking evil of dignities. Oh, folks, we have to be so careful with this. We are told in Scripture not to speak evil of one another. James chapter 4, verse 10. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. Don't do it, in other words. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? God also says this to us about evil speaking. 1 Peter chapter 2, in verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. Now, that second verse, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. Many of us have memorized that verse. The context of that verse is verse 1. Lay aside all malice, all guile, hypocrisies, envies. Lay aside evil speakings as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. When I, you, others, us, we, they, them, when we are evil speaking, we are not growing closer to the Lord. That's verse 2 in context. We are not growing. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 6, it says, eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye, neither desire thou his dainty meats. That's an interesting proverb. This is saying you would be wise not to even eat with this person. They're going to infect your heart with their seeds. Don't even eat with them. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 15, looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness, seeds, springing up, trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. See, that's something that makes it so dangerous. Not only does it cause division among families and splits churches, but when we take a seed, the root of bitterness is there. And if we don't address it the way God tells us to address it, it says, many be defiled. I have come home at the end of the day and defiled my wife with my that I come home with. Because I share it with her and her joy plummets. You know it works that way, doesn't it? And if my children were home, when they were home, I can't even imagine what my seeds of discord did in their hearts. But you say, I'm not on their side. I'm just giving them a shoulder to cry on. That sounds great. I'm just bearing their burden. Doesn't it tell us in the New Testament that we are to bear one another's burdens? Yes, God said to bear one another's burdens. That's true. But that is not a burden that they are carrying. That's sin. An offense that's not being addressed the way God says to address it, that's sin. God doesn't call us to carry other people's sin. And the only way to get rid of that burden, if you have it or I have it, is not sharing it with you or someone else. The only way to get rid of it is repentance and confession. Well, I just listen. Okay, while you are listening, seeds of discord are being planted into your heart that sprout up again somewhere else in your heart, and thereby many be defiled. Let me illustrate it this way. Those of you that have worked in a nursery before, okay, you can picture this. I can't imagine mamas that have six babies at one time, or even twins. Yikes. we have some expectant mothers in here. I'm praying for triplets. because they're not in my house, okay? All right? Allison, just be comforted with, I'm praying for triplets, okay? Yeah. Ladies that work in the nursery, you got six babies in there. There's three ladies in there working in the nursery. We'll just set it up this way. You get all the babies quieted down. They're all in their cribs sleeping. Yeah, right. Like that's going to happen. This is just imagination here, okay? All six babies are sleeping. The ladies are sitting there with the monitor on the wall playing the sermon, and they're just listening and engrossed and taking notes while they're working in the nursery. Right. And then all of a sudden, one of the babies wakes up and starts crying. That baby, baby Johnny, realizes his diaper needs to be changed. He says in his baby mind, he's saying, I have a need that's not being met. Wah! What do the nursery workers do? Whew! They're all lunging for little baby Johnny because what? Don't wake the other babies up, right? And Johnny's crying, and then let's say they don't get to him quick enough, and all five of the other babies start crying. What are they crying about? Every single one of them in their baby minds are saying, Johnny has a need. Wah! We're crying for Johnny. Johnny has a need. Wah! No, they're not. They all have some perceived need of their own that now they're crying about. That's a picture of the seed of discord that sprouts who knows how. One had discord, baby Johnny, and that seed spread to the others, and they all had their own little issues of discord. That's what happens in our families, folks. With this seed of discord, and when we listen to it, the seed is being planted, and it will sprout somewhere, somehow, at some time, because God says it will. This is why I believe God hates discord, because it is so deceptive. It's happening and we don't even realize it. Someone maybe suggests something to you about someone else. Seed planted. Many times, because this is the way Satan works, many times it is your pastor or someone in leadership. And you might say, oh, I don't believe that. I would never believe that. But the thought is there. And you can't remove that thought. The seed is there. And when it sprouts, you begin to question your pastor or that person or a person in leadership. And now you're not listening to the truth of God's word. Satan loves this. Because now the listener on Sunday morning is either not listening to the truth that's being preached, or they're at least guarded to what's being said. All believers, we're all told to guard our hearts. We need to pray that God would give us eyes to see these sowers so that we might respond appropriately. Appropriately. That's Matthew 18. The person needs to go to the one they have the problem with. And I'm becoming more and more of the opinion when I see the effect of my discord that's had on my wife, let's say, before I even share it with her. Oh, we're one flesh. We help each other. God doesn't give me that exclusion. I need to go to that person first before I share it with my wife. I need to go to that person first. Matthew 18, you go to that person. If there's no response, then you go to that person with two or three others. And if they don't respond, it says then you bring it to the church. And we're not going to take time to go into this. That's generally what we call church discipline. But notice something. What's missing in that Matthew 18 approach? What's missing is the pastor and the deacons. God gave us this plan to implement on our own. Someone hurts me. Pastor, you need to fix this. I'm going to tell a deacon so they can take care of this. That's not Matthew 18. God says, I go to the person. You go to the person. And then you go with two or three others. It doesn't have to be a deacon. But the goal here is restoration. Let's fix this. Let's learn the other side, all three, four, five, six sides, whatever there is. Different perceptions, different ways of looking at it. Come to an understanding before the discord spreads and the divisions grow. So what do we do? Okay? With the principles that we find in Matthew 18. If it is us that is disgruntled, complaining, murmuring, what do we do? Stop. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Secondly, then, we need to go to the people that we have infected with our discord. As many as we can. Who they went to, we can't reach everyone. But we need to go to the people that we have infected and ask them forgiveness for me infecting them with my discord. And then I need to go to my Christian brother or sister that I have spoken evil of and ask their forgiveness. And then seek to work out the problem or the offense. This is the way God says that we are to effectively combat and be victorious over Satan's tactic of trying to divide our families. If we're the listeners, what do we do? Stop. Stop listening. Why? Because of the verse I read in Hebrews, many will be or already are defiled. Remember, you are doing something to protect yourself. Today, the hot virus of today is the Zika virus. No doubt you've heard of it. Someone returning back to this country, if they have the Zika virus, what happens? They get pulled off the plane. They get quarantined. They don't get to go home. They don't get to hug any of their relatives. They are quarantined. That's mean. That's mean-spirited. No, it's not. That's protecting everyone else so they're not infected with the virus. If I were to walk in here this morning and say, hey, folks, it's great to be back from Atlanta. Spent the whole week down there. They got Zika crawling all over the place down there. I mean, there were signs everywhere. Warning, you're probably getting infected with Zika right now. And I come here this morning, I say, hey, I'm so glad to be back. And I'm coughing all over you. And you know I've just been to a Zikaville in Atlanta, okay? And I'm coming back and I'm coughing and I'm spewing germs. What are you doing as I'm talking to you? You're backing up. Now, how would you feel if I said, you guys are being rude to me. Nobody will talk to me. Nobody will listen to me. That's being rude. Would any of you say, oh, Pastor, you're right. Come on, let me hug you. Let me hug you. Tell me about your virus. Share it with me. No, we wouldn't do that. But yet when it comes to discord, Satan has our minds manipulated in such a way that instead of protecting ourselves from a contaminant that spreads, as we've seen in God's word, he has convinced us it is better to go and be all huggy-huggy and listening, and have the seeds being put into us. God says stay away from it. Remember the verse in Proverbs, don't even eat with them. Don't even eat with me if I'm giving you discord. Please get up and walk away. Say, Pastor, this is not right. You need to go talk to that other person. Please do that with me because I don't want to be the cause of many being defiled by my discord. Talking with a pastor about this, Pastor Todd, last week. I like his approach to it. When someone comes to him as a pastor, and we have this idea that if you have a problem, give it to the pastor and he'll take care of it. Give pastor your discord times 200 people. That's a lot of discord for one man to carry around and to try to deal with. Pastor Todd said, when someone comes to him with discord, as soon as they start, he said, whoa, 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 whoa. This is not for me to hear. God doesn't give me the grace to deal with your problem. You need to go talk to that person first. So here's what I'm going to do for you, brother or sister. I'm going to pray with you right now that God will help you do the right thing according to Matthew 18 and go talk to that person. I don't tell me anything more. Let's pray. And then he prays for them that God would, that they would do the right thing. And then he says this to them. This is bearing one another's burdens. This is biblical one another-ism here. When he says this, he says, now, I'm going to give you a week. And I'm going to call that other person to see if you've talked to them yet. That's one another-ism there, folks. That's not my brother has a Zika virus and say, yeah, you need to see a doctor about that. Hope you do it. We're going to follow up on that, aren't we? If we love them, because we want them to get well. We need to pray this morning, search me, O God, and see if there are any seeds of discord in my heart. Let's bow our heads, please. God in heaven, Lord, your truth is truth. It's not ours to ignore, to manipulate, revise, alter, or change. It is what it is. God, help us to not be so proud that we think we know different and thereby reject what your word says. God, please help us with this so that our families will benefit, so that our relationships with our spouses and our children, our church family, will benefit from this. God, we say we want to give you all the glory. And we do that by being unified. Help us, Lord, to examine ourselves here this morning, see if there are any seeds of discord, and then to follow through with 1 John 1:9 and the steps to follow after that. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's